going, and welcome to episode 27 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me in studio is
Henry Gilbert,
Lorenzo Valoria,
Ryan Selznick.
Yes, Tom is out today doing something else.
Something. Nobody knows what, but he's doing it.
I saw him on his computer typing, so I'm guessing he's writing an article.
Wonderful. He's working hard.
He's working hard, or... Oh, wait, he's our boss.
He is. Yeah.
Working hard.
He's working hard.
We got a packed show today. It's been a big week for news and crazy announcements from every company ever, and some big reviews, and a chance to win some games on our newly revamped community segment at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. Ooh. But let's start off with the top seven best presidential appearances in gaming. So it's President's Day this week.
I got, forgot that happened this week.
Yeah, that feels like it was 3 weeks ago.
This has been the longest week in the world. I think, we came up with this feature idea late. We had a different feature ready for this week. And late last week, we're like, oh, presidents, what would you do with presidents? And
then, what will we do that we haven't done in the last six years of top sevens?
We haven't done cameos.
We haven't done, it's not even cameos, it's full-on appearances.
That's true.
We have done fictional presidents, we've done best and worst, but we haven't done just flat-out appearances. And there are a lot of them. We actually had to trim down. And number seven's a fun one, Lyndon B. Johnson from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, some people forgot that LBJ was even in Metal Gear Solid 3, but he was not only in it, he had a huge role in, like, the future. He's as responsible for, like, Solid Snake's existence as Big Boss is.
Yeah, in the Metal Gear timeline, it super veers off reality in, like, the late 90s, but... Up until then, the people who were president in our 60s was the president in their 60s, too. And LBJ is a funny president to me, I think, because he's, like, such a good old boy. But he was also, like, he would be called a socialist today for some of his programs.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the funniest things ever I heard was on an NPR show where it was, like, this recently declassified presidential recordings of LBJ. And it was him calling his tailor to be like, I need some new pants. They bunch up too much on my boys.
Like, which is funny because that sounds like something that would happen in a Metal Gear game.
Yes.
So LBJ is like meets with Snake or Big Boss, Naked Snake. After the first mission goes wrong, and essentially says like, you go make this right, or else.
Right.
So
we'll just nuke the area if you.
Yeah, we'll just nuke the area and blame a rogue agent. Yes. So they send you back to make things right, and you do. Mm-hmm. And he promotes you to the title of Big Boss. Yeah. So LBJ is responsible for naming Big Boss, and in some like officially licensed books that came out about the Metal Gear series, they say that it was LBJ that pulled the trigger on the program that cloned Big Boss.
Wow! Oh.
So not only is he essentially. Like a surrogate father.
Yeah. He's like the grandfather.
Yeah, he's like,
of Snake.
The scene in the Metal Gear 3, where it happens too, like, you get to be in the Oval Office in the Metal Gear game, which is pretty strange.
And you're not and you're not CQCing anyone.
That'd be so cool if, like, in one fake inning you could CQC LBJ.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yes. But yeah, he's on this list just because he's, like, he's so important to the franchise, and most people forget that he was even in the game. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, it's LBJ.
Yep.
Yeah. Number six, George Washington in Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh boy, old Georgie boy.
Yes.
My favorite thing about George Washington in Assassin's Creed 3 is lately the Fox News thing lately
oh,
where they're like,
the
DLC, and they're like, you assassinate George Washington.
Our greatest president ever.
Well, the headline was, French game company makes a game where you can kill President Washington. Oh, man.
His birthday.
Yeah. How dare they? On the mere cusp of President's Day.
That's the day you're not supposed to assassinate someone.
Yeah, on their birthday.
So, in Assassin's Creed 3, you actually get to kind of, hang out with him.
Yeah.
He's obviously a major part in the revolution, and so are you because of Assassin's Creed. So you kind of just hang out with him, and he's kind of a dick.
Well, and also he doesn't really know what he's doing because that kind of holds true with how George Washington really was. Like, we all hold him up as this amazing hero, which he did a lot of great things, but he also kind of just lucked out a lot of the time.
Yeah, and not only that, but if you, like, they made a weird conscious effort. Like, in previous Assassin's Creed games, it's like, the Pope is involved. because the Pope is a Templar! Yeah. And I think going in, I kind of expected, like, oh man, I can't wait to see George Washington and then see a Assassin's Creed robe, like, diving on someone. But they almost wanted to make it so he had no idea. Like, they made a big point of, like, Connor, don't tell people what's going on. So because of that, he almost came across as, like, bumbling. Because you're just like, you have to do this. And he's like, I don't have to do this. And in your mind, you're like, fate of the world, idiot. There's assassins and Templars.
I kind of wanted them to go farther. I thought they might have the balls to go farther to make, like, no, the America was built by assassins and Templars.
Yeah.
And warring faction. Because when you look at
the model society for the Assassin's Order's theory about freedom and everything.
Because when you look back at that Revolutionary War history and, say, the design of Washington, D.C., like, there's Masonic stuff everywhere. The Masons were... they had something to do with this.
Yeah.
So there's conspiracies, easy conspiracies to
and
be made.
And they ignored them.
Yeah, and then just to make at least George Washington an innocent.
Yeah, they wanted a lot of the character. I mean, the characters are like, all right, I don't know why you're wearing that robe and stabbing people in the throat, but can you help us with the Boston Tea Party? Like, it was just
a friend of my friend is the friend of my enemy, or you know what I mean.
Enemy of the enemy is an assassin.
Get on the back of my horse and we'll warn everybody at the
British. That should be the name. That should be like the next Assassin's Creed. If it's Connor, it should just be like the slug instead of like what was the last one? It was just like give me liberty or give me death.
Yes.
It should be like the enemy of my enemy is an assassin, and it's a picture of Connor looking all badass. That's my hope. But yeah, George Washington. It's not his only time on this list either.
Mm.
Number 5, JFK in Call of Duty Black Ops, and not just because
not just because of
Zombie Killer, but he's actually in the game.
He is,
and they allude to the fact that your character may assassinate him.
Yeah.
So you play through the game.
I was hoping they'd confirm that in 2.
Yeah, they kind of. Yeah, I mean, you play through the game and like you find out that you were Manchurian candidated, and.
Yes.
You're brainwashed, and then that you meet the president, and you kind of have visions of you shooting him in the head, and you don't go through with it because you just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the game, you go to like kill the guy who brainwashed you, and you're like, "You tried to make me after the assassination. Like, you tried to make me kill the president." And he's just like, "What do you mean tried?" And then it just shows like clips of the president being assassinated. But then after that, like you said, he becomes a zombie killer.
Yeah, he's a zombie killer.
It's pretty nuts.
Along with Nixon. Nixon's there, too.
Yeah, Nixon's there. Yeah.
I love the animation. Like, it's so funny that, like, they take the games really seriously for the most part, but when you get to zombies mode,
it's
they're just like,
all out. It's awesome.
Fuck it. Yeah. Like, Nixon in it is just like, oh, what are we doing? There's zombies. Like, he goes, like, he turns the Nixondom up to 10.
It sounds like Futurama's Nixon.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah, I feel like they got the same guy. It's just like, we need to kill all the undead, Nix. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. And everyone else is just kind of doing, like, normal voices. And they're just like, no, more Nixon-y. Yeah.
Turn it up.
Yeah, turn it up to 50. We want 50 decibels of Trixie Dick. So, yeah, he, and again, he has a major part in the plot. Because he's just like, he tells you to go kill bad guys. Yeah. So that's why,
for him.
In conclusion, that's why John F. Kennedy is on our list.
Let's do John F. Kennedy
that's
First
why.
Nations.
I don't have, I can't.
In this century, we will do this and the other thing.
Let's go kill some zombies.
Some of the quotes he says in the game are references to things that happened after he died. It's like, what was the name of the organization that was like put together to investigate his assassination?
Oh, yeah, the...
What was it?
Commission?
Yeah, yeah. It was like one of the lines he yells is like, "Take this, you Warren Commission dick." It's like, what are you talking about? That doesn't exist right now. Number 4, Abraham Lincoln in Fight Club.
Oh, I remember this awful.
So they made a Fight Club game.
Yeah.
They didn't get the rights to anyone.
Well, you mean the likenesses?
The likenesses to anyone. So they had the characters in the movie. You could play as Tyler Durden, who just didn't look like Brad Pitt.
Yep.
You could play as Jack, who was just a guy. Didn't look like Ed Norton.
Nope.
And then just a bunch of characters like
Blondie.
Well,
it was Blondie, Bob with bitch tits, right?
Yeah, they had him. They had Angel Eyes.
Yeah, the Something Beautiful You Destroy.
Who played him? Wasn't it? It was like a musician. The guy from like 30 Seconds to Mars or whatever.
I don't remember all that.
It's some musician that's also
it's
an actor.
Been a long time.
But then in the movie, if you remember the movie, they have a discussion at one point about like if you could fight any historical figure, who could you fight? And Ed Norton character just goes, I think it's Ed Norton or Brad Pitt. They just go like, Abraham Lincoln, tall, lanky guys know how to scrap.
Yeah.
So they were like. Fuck it, well, this game's gonna blow, let's just do it. And they put him into the game as, like, Abraham Lightning Lincoln. And he can shoot lightning out of his hands.
That's awesome. All right.
So here's the problem. No one played this game?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, my cousin owned it.
Did you play as Lincoln?
I don't remember. It was so long ago. But I remember thinking to myself, well, this might be one of the worst games I've ever played in my life.
So, like, the only footage I could find online was super blurry, and it just shows him shooting lightning out of his hands.
Yeah,
I have no idea, like, why he can shoot lightning or spark. It almost looks like he's shooting, like, 4th of July sparklers.
Maybe he's, like, a secret boss character or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, I really can't remember. I just know it was not a good game.
Really, you should just... I think you should take that the Lincoln in that game is part of Jack's psychotic break.
Probably.
He's just imagining him anyway.
He's wearing overalls.
Well, that's it when looks, he's in working mode.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, and I kind of wish I played the game just to do that fight. Number three, Barack Obama in Mercenaries 2, World in Flames.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. It's his fault this game sucked.
Was he president when this game came out? I thought he was only a senator.
So, but it was him, and it was the DLC came out in like December. Okay. So it was after he was president elect. It was announced in like early or like mid September. Uh-huh. So near the election, they announced it with some footage, and then they didn't release it until he was president elect. But yeah. Just jump, like, hijack helicopters.
Man, I cannot...
Blow up buildings.
I thought Mercenaries really? 2 was, like...
Obama? Yes.
Wow. Mercenaries 2 playable. Was, like, 2006 or something.
No, Mercenaries 2008? It was 2008. It was real bad.
I just remember those commercials to it being super obnoxious.
Yeah, well, the problem was... So, Mercenaries 1 was really good. Hmm. Legitimately a really good game. It was like it was one of the first like open world destroy everything games, and it was just really well made.
It was so impressive that they could do such big explosions in so many vehicles like on a PS2. Like,
yeah. I actually remember I took my PS2 to my parents in our living room. We had just gotten a big screen TV and no one was home once, so I took my PS3 my PS2 down and got like the awful component cables you could get to play PS2 games in HD, and I played it on there, and I was like, this is the next generation of games right here. So, but then Mercenaries 2 came out, and it fucking sucked.
Yeah.
It was so bad. It was...
Well, it killed Pandemic, right?
It killed Pandemic. Or no, that Saboteur killed Pandemic.
Oh, that's right.
But so it was like, it was super buggy. Like, but it was also, like, the bugs were almost those, like, some of them were fun. Like, I remember, their vehicles would spawn, like any open world game, like, vehicles would just drive around.
Yeah.
But they'd spawn without drivers in them, mm-hmm. which was fine until you'd look at the car, and the AI, the game's AI would be like, fuck, we forgot to put a person on this. So, like, I'd look, and you'd see a motorcycle driving the road, and then you'd double take and look back, and it would just, like, slowly veer off the road, because the game's like, no one's driving me!
Oh, my God.
Ghost cars everywhere.
Just ghost cars. It was, and,
what
like,
an amazing
the gameplay
though.
Was just awful,
that's,
but...
That's awesome.
You could destroy foreign countries as Barack Obama. It's almost like a try before you buy program. It was like, he's eventually going to help. He's eventually going to lead an army to destroy a foreign country. I wonder what that's going to be like.
Years later in Black Ops 2, there would be a carrier named after him that you could destroy.
The Obama.
Yeah.
Was the fake president on that one? Or the, I mean, that game's president, the lady president?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, the Saboteur, I want to tell a really quick funny story. I remember I saw the Saboteur.
Is this like your quick haircut story?
Yes, quick haircut story.
I went to buy it and the store was closed.
The Saboteur was previewed for us here. It was one of my first previews and it looked good and everything. But the interesting thing was that it was the PR rep for it was German. Like she was German. And then halfway like into the game takes place in occupied France. And
yes.
When the goose stepping Nazis appeared on screen and were speaking German, I was like, I feel don't you feel uncomfortable here? Like your country's that you're selling a game on your country's shame. Like, isn't this?
And that game,
weird?
Like that game was like super over the top too.
Yeah, way over the top. Like then the I think the height of the uncomfortableness was if you put on a Nazi uniform as a saboteur and go undercover. You then, like, theatrically, like, in a very theatrical manner, goose-step around with a high old arm up, and it was just so... It was so silly that I was like, come on, what's going on here?
To piggyback on this story, one of my favorite Games Radar articles that Michael Raparez wrote while I was still here was the most historically inaccurate historical games.
Yeah.
When he wrote about the Saboteur, he's like, this game alludes to the fact that World War II was started because of a sabotage during a race. Like a racetrack, someone sabotaged a car, and then World War II erupted. And then you drove from France to Germany.
That's amazing.
That woman later went on to rep the Captain America game from Sega.
Wow, so
once
she just
again
didn't
involved,
stop.
Not, yeah.
She has some huge shame issues. she has like a weird thing in her contract. Like, actually, I'll only work for your company if I am repping games where you fight Nazis.
You must have the World War II game here, yes?
Yes. She's been out of work for the second half of this generation.
She was a nice lady. I haven't seen her in a while.
Number two, Ronald Reagan / George Bush Sr. in Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja. By the way, did you know that Bad Dudes was called Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja?
I thought it was called Bad Dudes.
Yeah, nobody calls it that because fuck that. But Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja, so...
Bad Dudes is cool enough already.
It's an awful game. Go back and it's like Altered Beast level bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You can beat the final boss by like standing on a car and kicking.
But it's fun. I mean, it's funny.
It's funny because the plot of the game is literally the president has been kidnapped. In the original, it was President Ronnie specifically. Not just, like, they changed it to the president had been kidnapped by ninjas, but it was President Ronnie has been kidnapped by ninjas.
Yeah.
Which is, if you really think about it, it's like, how badly guarded does the White House have to be for ninjas to fucking stroll in? I mean, I know that they're ninjas and that's their deal.
Yeah, they're invisible.
Yeah,
how do they get over the lawn?
There's really nothing to stop them. And then at the end, this game, I pointed out in the article, it's only famous for two reasons. The very first thing that happens in the game, which is the president has been kidnapped by ninjas, and then at the end of the game, where President Ronald Reagan says, ha-ha, thank you, bad dudes, let's grab a burger.
Let's grab a burger sometime. Ha-ha-ha-ha.
Also, that game was made by a Japanese company.
Yeah.
Japan is ninjas.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, Japanese company in the 80s made a game about Japanese ninjas kidnapping the U.S. president. It's kind of weird if you really think about it.
Well, next week's Radar Plays Retro is we play 1943, a classic shooter, and then we're talking about, like, you're playing as an American pilot shooting up Japanese ships in the Pacific.
God, I know we sometimes end up just mistakenly brainstorming features here, but is there a feature about top 7 Japanese game where you do nothing but kill Japanese people?
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Let's just think about this one. Put it in their brain memory.
Down. I don't have time.
Well, then it's gone.
I mean, I'll never listen to this podcast. So.
I'm looking around. There's no pens in the room. Oh, we found a pen. We found a pen. This feature might happen.
Japanese.
Wow, you have such elegant handwriting.
You really do have good handwriting.
Look at that.
Number one.
You wrote the word Japanese.
I did.
Number one's a twofer. Mm-hmm. It's the game The Conduit 2, where you get to see Abraham Lincoln and George Washington together.
Wow.
So
the ultimate party.
Yes. So The Conduit. God, Lawrence has such good handwriting. The Conduit is a series. It's a Wii exclusive by High Voltage, I think.
Yep.
High Voltage Games trying to make Wii exclusive shooters. They were both fine.
Yeah, no.
It was like they were like, we want to prove you can make a shooter on the Wii, and then you played them, and you're like, all right, you did it.
Well, they made if there had not been a new generation of game of consoles after the Wii or next to the Wii, you would have seen what they were able to pull off in Conduit. You'd be like, these are great graphics. Like, this is cutting edge, but. It was only for the Wii.
Yeah, like they were good games for. They were really. They were probably two of the best Wii exclusive shooters.
Mm-hmm. And if this had been the N64 era, games like those could have been like it could have been the golden eye of those eras.
Yeah, absolutely. It was essentially, and it was like Perfect Dark style in that it was like all about conspiracies and stuff, and mm-hmm. you're fighting off aliens that are invading Washington, and it's voiced by that guy in Firefly who just carves apples all the time.
But then they made a big deal about the second one. Sega made a huge deal.
It was about Atlantis. That was a major point of it, and you have to shut down a portal or something, and you go to shut down the portal near the end of the game, and the game's okay. The plot doesn't make a fucking ounce of sense, but you get to the end, and you walk up to the portal, and the portal opens up, and a bunch of just the most generic space marines in battle armor you've ever seen, like, Stargate out of that thing. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there, and then your character goes like, what the? It's you! And it spins around, and in, like, essentially Master Chief armor is Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, and they go, we're here to help.
Oh, man.
And then credits.
Yep.
What a cliffhanger.
Such a great, such a great cliffhanger for Conduit 3, but it'll... We'll never, ever, ever,
never,
ever,
ever, ever, ever. getting back together.
That's my favorite song.
So yeah, Conduit 2 is the number one, has the number one best presidential appearance in gaming.
I don't know if that'll ever be topped by
it's
real
gonna
life
be rough.
Presidents.
It's going to be rough. Though Metal Gear Peace War, or whatever, is it Ground Zeroes takes place in the...
yeah, it'd be interesting if Jimmy Carter... No, it's like late 70s.
Late 70s?
So Jimmy Carter or even Ronald Reagan could show up.
Oh man, I'd love to see Reagan in that game.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'm sure Reagan is involved.
Also, we like was special mention to NBA Jam almost made the list.
NBA Jam almost made the list. It didn't because it's almost like you're not really like
you stuck ahead on a thing.
So in the other game, you stuck ahead on a thing, and in these other games, like the presidents are really in that. Mm. In those games, it's almost just like there's something like we've seen pictures of Barack Obama playing basketball. Yeah. You've never seen pictures of Barack Obama kicking a guy out of a tank.
Yeah,
like that's you just haven't seen those yet. I mean, I'm hoping. I mean, well, they did release that picture of him shooting a gun.
Yeah, that's true.
With the official mandate that you're not allowed to edit the image. And then, did you see that?
Oh, no, I
so
didn't
there's a picture
see
of him shooting a gun, and in the release, they're like, you're not allowed to edit this image. And somebody sent me a link of just, like, 30 animated GIFs of just, like, changing it to a machine gun. They're all, like, the best animated GIFs you've ever seen.
That's awesome.
I think that image would only be edited, would be edited less if they hadn't.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the top seven. You can check out a new top seven every week. And next week's top seven is actually written by GamesRadar Australia's Darren Wells. And I'm super excited. He pitched the idea to me. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to write this top seven. It's about this. And I was like, holy, we have to have done that already. It's such a good idea. And I looked back and we never did it. And it's a great idea. And I'm looking forward to see the response. It's a really cool one.
We're throwing a top seven on the Barbie, mates.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Darren, if you listen to this. I'm sorry.
We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to segment two of Radio Radar. On to the news, and holy fuck, PlayStation 4.
It finally happened.
I couldn't hardly sleep. No, I slept fine.
Didn't you specifically say that you passed out on the couch the minute you got home?
Afterwards.
Oh, beforehand.
No, not beforehand.
Beforehand, I couldn't sleep either. I was so excited.
I ate a bowl of applesauce. And
I was just cartwheeling around my apartment.
That's literally the saddest thing I've ever heard.
A bowl of applesauce?
Well, I'm trying to eat...
did you warm it?
I'm trying to eat less ice cream, so I'm replacing when I would have ice cream. I'll just eat out. If I have a craving for ice cream, I'll eat applesauce.
Applesauce is good.
I'm just imagining like you guys are the stereotype of like someone getting depressed and eating an entire carton of ice cream. I'm just imagining you just sad eating an entire like gigantic mason jar of applesauce.
I blended vegetables out of an applesauce jar.
No, and also I like applesauce cold, so it's almost like ice cream.
So the PlayStation 4 was announced. When they said this event was happening, we had heard leaks and rumors right beforehand, and we're like, so the leaks and rumors were like, so it's going to be like 45 minutes long, they're not going to talk about much, and they're only going to show one game.
Yeah, they're going to show one game.
They're going to show one game, that's it.
Maybe something, who knows.
It was 2 hours long.
Full blowout.
Honestly more news than I expected at any it's more news than has ever been given at an E3 press conference.
At the start of it, when the host said... Over the next 2 hours. We went, 2 hours? Really?
He said a couple of hours.
Yeah,
like, how long is this going to be?
It was a nice bonding moment for all the Games Radar people when it happened, too. Like, we were all sitting in a room together on couches with our laptops.
We were like family.
Yeah.
Living room.
Family. Yes. Living room.
In a hot, sweaty room with no ventilation.
It wasn't that hot.
And, Michael Raparez and Chris Hoffman joined us as well. So, yeah, they announced the PlayStation 4. It is called the PlayStation 4. I've heard some speculation that they still might not call it that in Japan. Because 4 in Japan is 13 to America.
I've heard that, yeah.
It is a bad, like, what is the, Henry, could you tell us what the word for 4 is in Japanese?
It's be either yon or g, but that, it's, no, go's 5.
Oh.
Ich ni yon go. Rok nana hach huju.
Wow. But, I'm right here, man.
it was weird in Japan going like, all right, well, you say Jew for 10, and if you're going to say anything from like 11 to 19, you have to say Jew 1, Jew 2, Jew 3. And so,
Juichi, Juni.
That's what my family reunions are like.
Jew hach.
Jew hach.
Jew hach.
Jew hach.
But I had heard about the number 4, and this could be completely wrong, but I heard that it's really China, that in China the character for four is the same character as Death.
Ah. Interesting.
So, yeah, that's why.
That wouldn't be a good PS.
Yeah, so.
PS Death. And it makes sense, because if you look at a lot of games like God, they're like, hey, we made three God of Wars. Let's make God of War spin-off instead. Like, there's a lot of franchises made by Japanese companies. Like, some of them, plenty get fours, but there's a lot that they're just like, let's just start doing spin-offs now.
Right. I think from a marketing standpoint in America, they just don't like four because it sounds really old. Like, people are like, three, this ends a trilogy. Four, this sounds like I missed a trilogy. I don't want to buy this thing. Yeah.
But it is called the PlayStation 4. They showed off the controller for the first time. Sexy. It is essentially what the leaked one is. It's officially DualShock 4. Mm-hmm. And it looks... I've heard some people freaking out about it. It looks really nice.
It's like a combination of a bunch of... It's got a speaker and the whole light.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, it literally looks like if... So imagine, you know how they do things where they morph one face into another face? Imagine you morphed the six axis or the DualShock into the Xbox 360 controller and stopped halfway.
Wait, but I'm curious. I keep hearing people reference how it's like a 360 controller, but I'm not seeing it at
It's thicker, and it has a bottom. It's like, and you know how like the top of the PS3 controller, it has like the shoulder buttons and then it drops down?
It's got more like handles,
yeah,
right? Like,
it doesn't have like sticks. It has like handles.
And they said they changed out the triggers a little bit, so I never liked the DualShock's triggers.
Right. And they said the rumble was sharper. Right?
Yeah, which is funny, because they ditched rumble on the PS3.
They said, we improved the rumble capability.
I loudly laughed and no one else did.
Well, in general, that whole press conference seemed to me like an apology for the 2005 and 6 reveals
it was
of PS3 stuff.
The exact opposite of that press conference.
It absolutely was, especially when he started talking about the architecture of the thing, because he was like...
All it was about was like, we asked developers, we talked to developers, they told us what they wanted, meanwhile the PS3 reveal was like, this thing is so awesome, you must develop for it, so we don't care how you feel.
Yeah, with the PS2 and PS3, they made like a, if we're going to build a powerful system and you'll make games for it. This time around, they're like, hey, do you want to make powerful games? What should our system be like? So it has a... Everyone asked for more RAM. Consoles have notoriously had shitty RAM.
Yeah.
They've had, like, even, like, the current, like, doesn't the Xbox 360...
I don't think it has a gig.
It has, like, 512. Like, it has, like, a...
It has... I remember reading this. It has 512, and that's only because Epic says they take responsibility for that it was, like, 256. And then they said to Microsoft, like, we can't do Unreal games on this if you don't give us at least 512.
Yeah,
like,
so they're doing...
PS4 is at 8?
8 gigs of GDDR5 RAM.
Like the hardcorest of hardcore RAM.
Well, I mean, that's important just because traditionally, in a regular gaming PC, the system memory that you have is right now at, like, DDR3. DDR5 is what you would find the onboard memory on, like, a graphics processing unit, your video card. And so that you can't get that without spending like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
like,
they don't even sell it as its own thing, really.
Yeah.
It's almost like, remember how for a while solid state hard drives were like, oh no, they're built into things. They're built into like iPods, but you can't buy one for your computer. Mm-hmm. That's what GDDR essentially is.
Yeah, they didn't say it's not a solid state. The hard drive on the thing is not solid state. It's a regular hard drive.
Right. That's correct.
That would be out of control if they had solid state.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what
sounds expensive.
I'm curious to see what the memory will mean for the price.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, if they also, one of my favorite quotes is they asked about the price, and they said they couldn't say anything about the price except, we don't need to build a factory just to make the cell processor, so that's going to help. Like, they needed to literally, like, cell processor, like, they made it just for the PS3, and they had to build factories to make it. This time, they're using parts that other people are making them, and they're ordering them in bulk, and they're getting them cheap.
And it's a bummer, too, because cell, while everyone was really excited about it at the time, actually, like, means a lot of bummer things for the PS4 in that it's not natively backwards compatible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the PSN games that you bought on your PS3 won't work on the PS4.
Nope.
Like, it's a bummer.
I mean, that's obviously why they bought Gaikai last year. It was because they realized, like, this, they can't bring it in. They can't bring it in mechanically. They gotta stream PS3 games.
So they said they're gonna, their goal is to stream every Sony game ever made onto everything. Realistically, I think we're probably just going to be streaming PS3 and PSN games next gen, at least in the early steps. They haven't said how it's going to work. Everyone's worried about needing to rebuy your games. There are some really easy solutions. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it yesterday, or a few days ago, where it's like, so the system still has a Blu-ray drive. So if you put in a copy of Killzone 2, your system will still be able to say, like, this is a copy of Killzone 2.
Yeah.
So theoretically, they could do something that's just like, if this is a copy of Killzone 2, we'll check it, then you can stream it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's an easy, it's a really easy solution, and right. as long as the disc is in your drive, you can play it.
That's the best deal they're going
to
get.
And that, but you'll still have to be connected to the internet right, and streaming exactly. the game.
And it's also like your PSN purchases don't carry over either.
But then again, they're not native, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the same thing. Like, they can all be streamed. Don't mm-hmm. worry, we have a warehouse full of PS3s ready to stream your old games.
But mm-hmm. I hope they do know how to emulate PS2 and PS1 games now, so at least those will be on the, those can carry over on the PSN store.
Yeah, so hopefully. I mean, because like the Vita can emulate PS1 games. Like,
PS1 can be emulated by a calculator right
yeah.
now.
Like. So they announced that. But when it comes to streaming, they also announced a bunch more when it comes to like different streaming things. They said that you'll be able to, at any time, they hinted that any time, any game, your friends can just, you can just hit a button on the share button on the controller and just start streaming to Ustream or Facebook. Or your friends could just jump in and watch you play a game. Or they could just jump in and take over the game if you're stuck.
I'd like to point out that I suggested that this might happen, that we'd have just one touch sharing, one button touch sharing. And when I brought it up, people were like, "There's no fucking."
I thought you were an insane person.
Mm-hmm. But hey, how about that?
Yeah, but that a share, it's so ubiquitous that a share button is one of the few buttons on the controller that replaces start and select. Start and select's gone.
Well, options replaces start and select.
Yeah. I mean, options and share.
I didn't even notice that. How often do we use the select button for anything?
I know, but it's just the select button. Nice to
the
have
select button
there.
Was menus. Literally used like we need another button to open a map. Yeah. Like we just
like
need another button.
Inventory button and your pause options mm-hmm. button.
They could even do things like if like let's say it's like let's say it would normally be map. They could make it like if you tap the button, it opens a map. If you hold it down, it pushes start. Well, or the other way around.
The touchpad can be anything now.
Yeah, there's a touchpad in the middle. We didn't mention that.
How about that?
Yeah. It's essentially like a trackpad on a
That seems like
a
stretch
camera.
For the thumbs.
They cut off 1/4 of the back of a PS Vita and stapled it on.
Just a bunch of staples.
Yeah. I'm curious
also,
to see what games will actually take advantage of that.
I mean, I'm thinking rhythm games. Like, that would be pretty...
Strum
like,
a guitar?
It seems like a really long stretch to be holding it like this, yeah. like
they
where your
even,
sticks are, and then you have to.
So think about how many games have like hacking mini games mm-hmm. or shit like that. Like you have to pick a lock. Just making it some kind of cool touchscreen thing would be cool, or touchpad thing.
Yeah.
Also, while you did call the one touch sharing, I called specifically that backwards compatibility would be a mess. I think that's the name of the slide.
That is
and
the,
as I was writing that, I'm like, oh man, I can't imagine that it'll be this bad. But I'm just gonna go with this prediction anyway. And then as time goes on, I'm like, wow, it's more of a mess than even I could have imagined.
Well, I mean, I guess that's something we probably could have thought of a little bit more clearly, too, in the sense that, I mean, for Sony to continue using Cell, that would mean that the development process would still be a lot trickier for PlayStation.
Well, that was when they put on-system PS2 emulation of the Emotion Engine, or when they put the Emotion Engine in the $600 PS3, that was a huge extra cost to them.
Yeah.
Like when they finally cut that out completely, they're like, "There, this we can get it to $400 now at least." Like,
right.
So I would figure if they had to put a cell processor in the PS4 on top of all the other stuff, it would make it a $600 system.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. But I almost am surprised they're not offering that. Like
as an
it,
option,
and like literally call it like the PS4 with backwards compatibility,
limited edition backwards compatibility.
And I mean, I'd consider buying it if it means I can not, because otherwise I'm gonna have to leave my PS3 hooked up to my TV at all
for
times.
At least another 2 years.
So
or
if,
like another year before,
especially because they've already announced that some games like it sounds like Watch Dogs is coming to
both,
yeah. and it's like what if I don't buy a PS3 right away if I wait 6 months and buy a few PS3 games that are on the next gen.
Yeah, it's complicated.
It's a weird thing. But they did announce a lot of exclusive games. Exclusive.
Again, we expected one game.
Yeah.
A game and a couple shitty tech demos.
We got Drive Club, a Forza-style, nice. Gran Turismo-style game by the people who made MotorStorm, and they've made some good games. Killzone Shadowfall,
mm-hmm.
which again is not Killzone 4.
I'm looked so tired amazing. Of Killzone.
It looked great.
It looked so good. Yeah. It looks like Killzone meets Uncharted.
Yeah.
Like there was some
yeah.
crazy shit going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it is. It was gorgeous. Like it was a great second game to show.
I think I was a little more excited about just the way it looks. Than
no,
the,
yeah, it was
the
beautiful.
Game, but, yeah.
It was beautiful.
They announced Knack, which is made by. Oh, also worth noting is it Mark Cerny?
Cerny.
Yes. Yep.
He is a. I think Tom actually described him as he's like essentially Will Wright. Like he is a another one of those guys in this genius that's a genius in this industry. Mm. And Sony put him in charge of the PS4 architecture. Uh-huh. So he's the guy who's responsible for the fact that they said, fuck Cell. But he was, we're doing our own, we're going to make it easy to develop for.
But I think that was a really, really good move on their
part. The most, well, and he was leading up development of Knack at the same time.
Exactly.
Like, he's making Knack with Sony's Japan studio, which is pretty cool. Knack is... looks like a character platformer, but you know, those are cool.
Honestly, there aren't enough of those on non-Nintendo systems.
Oh,
there
yeah.
just really aren't.
Well, Sony turned their back on it almost completely this year. I mean, there were the Ratchet games, but that's kind of it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Also about
you had to wait until the end of the gen to get a Sly game, and there was never a new Jak and Daxter except for the Vita or the PSP ones.
Yeah. Well, also about Mark Cerny real quick is that he is a lot of people see it's kind of we're saying like, oh, this is them turning their back on Japan design and Japanese designers and all that. Like, well, not totally. Like, Cerny is American and native to America, but like he's worked with Japanese companies since working on Sonic 2. Like,
yeah,
he's fluent in Japanese. He lives in Japan or has lived in Japan for a while. Like, he can bring to. I think it's more so he can bring together those ideas.
Absolutely.
Instead of like Microsoft's design sometimes is too American and too just big and ugly. Well, meanwhile, Japan is just too particular, you know? And
too conservative with certain things.
Yeah.
Afraid to take risks.
Yeah, and he can maybe... he's their best hope of bringing that together. It was a great, risky move to see Sony take on Cerny.
Yeah, and if and depending on... from what it sounds like, if this succeeds, if the PS4 is a success, he is going to be their Steve Jobs. Like, they don't have... I mean, Kaz is sort of taking a step back because he realizes he just can't fucking do this spotlight shit.
Yeah, well, he's the president now of everything.
Yeah.
So,
so if Cerny does as good of a job as it sounds like he's doing, he's going to be their Reggie. Yeah.
They need one. They do.
Yeah. And this, and he is... he is. I mean, he kind of looks goofy. He's
scary.
He's kind of scary looking. Yeah. He's kind of intense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I think we can all agree too. Like, seeing the response to Sony's conference, a lot of people who had felt maybe burned by them in the past. I mean, all the comments I was reading, I was like, wow, like that was a really well done conference, and I have full faith in that the PS4 is going.
One of my friends sent me a message, and it sounded like he said for the first time Sony did their research.
Yeah,
it was the least out of touch thing they've ever done.
Yeah. It took them 7 years to finally their 2006 E3 press conference, among other things, but that was just like the worst of that time. Was it just seemed very, we're better than you. You need us. We're Sony.
Remember the president of Sony at the time saying, if you can't afford a PS3, maybe you should get another job.
Yeah.
When they announced the $600. Like,
good, guy. And they were selling it on, come on, guys, it's just that good. With games like when Resistance is your strongest game and it's just a good shooter, like, you can't sell it on that. You know?
And I think there were some points, too. I mean, we talked about this in the Radar Reacts, but...
which you should watch, by the way. We do whenever there's any fucking thing announced ever, we do a Radar Reacts.
We recorded it minutes after the show.
Yeah, and it's up in minutes after.
But again, like my favorite thing that was said during the entire conference was, our focus isn't the living room, it's the gamer. And like,
wherever that gamer may be.
Yeah, and Microsoft will take the exact opposite stance. I mean, they're going to push the new Xbox as your ultimate media hub. And it's like, you know what? That's refreshing for me as somebody who loves games to hear Sony say, you right there are our target.
Because Microsoft is, I feel like every E3 they give up more and more time to be like, well, enough of that game stuff. How's this going to work for Netflix?
Here's an ESPN app.
Yeah. UFC app. The UFC app is pretty cool. I wish they'd get a WWE app.
They're not going to. They might, actually. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. There's only so... Well, also with the Media Hub stuff, like, how many more mountains are there to climb with that? Like, there's only so many services you can get, and for services like Netflix, they don't want to be exclusive.
That's
they want to be on everything.
All those services, they both already have everything.
Yeah.
So the only thing I can think of is like, so PS4 has thrown its hat into the Ustream camp.
Yeah.
Maybe Microsoft's going to grab Twitch. But even then, it's like, I don't care about streaming. Like, I like streaming, but not enough that I'm going to buy a console over it.
Yeah, you may not, but there are...
Well, no, but I mean, Twitch doesn't want to be exclusive either. They're going to be on Roku sooner or later.
Yeah, I've just never gotten into streaming or watching streams myself because, like, I barely find enough time to play games myself to then sit for 2 hours to watch someone else play it.
Esports to become super popular, it can't be exclusive to one console.
No, I agree.
So they can't really position themselves any more than they already have, but though I still think they're going to. But we have to move on from PS4 because we could literally do an entire podcast on that. But we have so much stuff on the site. Yeah. You can check out the Radar Reacts.
I'm really mad at Square couldn't announce a dang Final
Dude, it was so
game. Like the real Final Fantasy.
They literally,
it's coming.
He danced, like they brought up that guy, and he's just like, "We're gonna." He's like, "Hi, I'm from Japan. I work at Square. Here's a video we released last year." And we sat there and watched the video they released last year. And it's like, also, we have somebody from the president of Square to come make an announcement. And then he walked up, and he's just like, "Hey, we're making a Final Fantasy, maybe."
Get excited.
We want you to be very excited about a new Final Fantasy. And then he bowed and walked off the stage.
And it was like, took
fuck
the stage.
You!
When the guy took the stage, I was like rubbing my hands and they're like, oh yeah, Ryan, here it comes.
I know, me and Henry were both
was he the guy who like danced around it for so long that we're like, come
on? Yeah, he was having trouble finding his words.
Yeah, it took him a whole minute to say.
They're not announcing a Final Fantasy. But anyway, that's the biggest news. There was some other news. You can read about it on Games Radar. We don't have time for it. Let's move on to previews. Ryan, you've been busting every nut you can find about Remember Me. Can you explain? Like, there's literally just a slug's trail of semen wherever you go when somebody mentions Remember Me. Can you please tell us why?
That's super descriptive and mostly accurate. I gave literally no shits about this game until I finally played it.
You were super unexcited to go see it.
I was like, oh, God, I gotta play this game. Maybe it'll be cool. I don't know. Yeah, I went to a Capcom event and played Remember Me, and I was really, really impressed by it. It's kind of like got this weird Minority Report vibe.
What are you trying to?
Minority Report kind of vibe. It's set in the future, kind of cyberpunky, and you play as a memory hunter. What was really cool is everybody's kind of adopted this evolution of social networking, and it's become this thing where you and I forget the setup exactly.
Well, it's like augmented reality, right?
Yeah, everyone's set up with this Sensen. It's called Sensen Engine. You kind of inject this thing into your body, and it augments your reality. Like, you can see really cool, like, hologram-type things pop up in front of store vendors, and you can see those floating things on the back of people's necks. That's what lets you know that they've also got this machine implant. But anyways, Nilin is the protagonist's name, and she's the only one that has this power, where she can go into somebody's memories, alter the memories, and then change how they perceive the present day.
Inceptioning
it's very Inception-like. But yeah, the way those play out, they're called memory remixes, and essentially it's like a cutscene plays, and then you can rewind it in real time, and it's cool to hear like the dialogue go backwards. You can stop or move forward or rewind at any time you want, and you'll find little things that get highlighted and it's almost like a cinematic puzzle, and you can alter that. And different scenes will play out in the cutscene depending on how you alter it. Really, there's only one way you can successfully alter it, but you can watch the different scenes play out. There are a couple different scenarios that'll happen.
And then other parts are like Assassin's Creed or Prince of Persia.
Yeah, there's all kinds of platforming, and the animations look really, really good. The combat's kind of cool. The coolest thing there is you can build your own combos, and it's kind of hard to explain, but essentially the way it works is you can unlock nodes that either do more damage on a hit or heal you on a hit. And you can place these into your combos, and it completely changes the way your chains look in terms of animation, how much damage they do. Good. But yeah, it was a really neat system, and I thought the whole thing was a really awesome setup.
It's really creative, and isn't it? It's like the first game from this developer, Don't Nod. Is that
Don't Nod,
name?
Yep. Yeah. It's the very first game they've done. So. Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm super. I was also like a who gives a fuck about this game. But now I'm like, all right, this generation has some cool stuff. Capcom is like the only company that is every gamer is like, companies need to stop announcing stuff so far ahead of the release date. Capcom's the only one. I mean, they're breaking that promise every so often. But for the most part, like Resident Evil 6 was announced like 6 months before it came out. Yeah. And Remember Me is the same way. They're the only company that's actually doing what everyone's asking, and no one has acknowledged it. So thank you, Capcom, for at least that.
I think Capcom learned their lesson from announcing Devil May Cry almost 2.5 years before it came out.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. I'm excited. I saw Army of Two, Devil's Cartel. Is it? Yes,
Devil's Third is something else.
made by a developer I love, Visceral Montreal. I'm a huge fan. I can't wait to see what they're going to do in the future.
Yeah, I have bad news for you.
What's wrong?
EA did a bunch of layoffs yesterday. Among them was apparently all of Visceral Montreal.
But their game's not even out yet.
It must have gone gold, like, the day it went gold. They're like, oh, it's great to hear it's gone gold, guys. Come to the conference room.
So wait. I already bought my season pass. What does this mean?
I get, well, they can always just hand off
the DLC. I
don't
even know if there's a season pass.
They can hand off the DLC to EA LA or whoever.
So I liked Army of Two, the original game. It was a solid shooter. Army of Two, two. Was a
40th day.
Was a fine. It wasn't. Like, I thought it had some weird issues in terms of the.
You
like,
could bling your gun.
Yeah. I thought that was good. This one, from what I've played, feels like it's going to be the best one.
Oh boy.
It's so like.
There's lots of exploding bodies.
It's so starkly violent. Like, the way, like, it's like a big action-y game. It looks like a big action-y movie, like Rambo or a Michael Bay film.
Yeah.
But then you're left with, like, you're not. You don't. You look at the corpses. You see these destroyed husks that used to be humans. And
so when you shoot people, there's a chance that their limbs can come off.
Just a chance.
The actual gameplay itself, it was a solid shooter. It was, the controls were a little janky, but it wasn't bad. It was just like, okay, this is takes a little getting used to. But the thing about it that I loved is they got rid of like a lot of the element. They got rid of like the aggro meter. Like your, one character used to glow when he was being shot at, and they're like, no, you can just if you're being shot at, you have aggro. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
They replaced that with another meter that when it gets to full, you can unlock. It's like overload mode or something like that.
Overkill.
Yeah. Overkill. Everything you hit is dismemberment.
You have exploding bullets.
So when you shoot somebody in the arm, their arm gets blown off. Yeah. If you shoot them in their head gets blown off. Their torso gets destroyed.
Soldier of Fortune.
Also, it's slow motion.
And if you run up and melee somebody with overkill mode on, you'll chop off their leg with a knife. It's pretty epic.
I asked the developer what the scientific explanation behind that was, and he just started laughing. You can watch. We have a dev demo up where we played co-op, and he actually just starts. He's like, "Fuck science." Yeah. I don't
when
give a
you're
shit.
Making the third Army of Two game, you don't. There's some questions you don't.
It almost
with.
Feels like they're like, "Listen, we all know we're not going to keep making Army of Two games next gen. Let's just make the." Everything you want Army of Two to be. Let's just get that out of the way
right
now.
This is what Army of Two needed to be from the beginning.
Yes.
I think
God Tom's not here to scowl at us because he's so angry about the fact that it's just nothing but you going around blowing up Mexicans.
Yeah.
It is weird that EA is the February and March of 2013 was when they blocked that. Like, this is when the last of those trilogies are coming out. That's the latest they're going to come out. So Crysis 3, Dead Space 3, Army 2, 3, get out there, and then we're done. We're on to the next gen.
It looks so good. It's not going to be. I'm not sure. I speculate that it's not going to be great, but it looks like it's going to be so much fun.
It looks like it'll be fun.
It'll be a fun 7.
I mean, I remember playing the first Army of 2, getting really excited for it, and then recalling that I had taken dumps that felt more satisfying. But this Army of 2... I'm excited for Blizzard.
Army of Two one was fine.
It was okay.
Two was good. It just had like a really dumb plot. Like a dumb plot that they threw in your face nonstop. They're just like, yo, pay attention to your actions. They have repercussions. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Did you miss the fact that we can play rock, paper, scissors and punch each other in the balls? Because I didn't.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, that's Army of Two. And also, Lorenzo saw a little game called Destiny. We can't spend too much time on it because we're running out of time because you guys got to do some other stuff.
Well, it's first-person
shooter.
Luckily,
we know nothing about it.
Yeah. First-person shooter, MMO elements. So it's kind of... It
social,
looks like
shared world.
Shared world, yeah. So it's basically Halo gameplay. So they're saying. I didn't actually get to see the gameplay.
You saw a few seconds of it during the PlayStation 4 thing.
Yeah, the guy aimed down a scope, which was encouraging because, you know, iron sights maybe in a Halo-type game. But you're on Earth. It's post-apocalyptic after some crazy golden age where humans were settling on Mars and Venus, and there's like this ancient space world and all these weird-looking aliens that are like modeled after rhinos and spiders and all that stuff. And so the whole social aspect, you'll be running around the world, and the game will automatically matchmake you with other players, so you could kind of jump in with other players, take on a raid, go in, get a bunch of loot, and that's all just happening in front of you. You don't have to, like, you know,
sweet
call up people and whatever. But there wasn't much else on that.
Yeah,
so
it's weird.
They kind of just introduced us to it.
It's going
to
be part of a trilogy. It's going to have 10 years worth of, like, they're
yeah,
it's not coming out this year.
No. Well, Activision wants their 10 years worth. Like, the big deal was, like, Bungie gets to own this, which is crazy that a developer gets to own it, but the price for that is Activision gets to make every Bungie game for a decade. Right. So it, once the decade's up, Bungie will own Destiny. But we didn't even say that the PS4's holiday 2013.
That's important.
A 2013, though the, I have now read that they are reticent to say that counts for Europe. So I bet more so. I think you'll be more likely we'll get it in November, Japan in December, because that's when you launch your system in Japan is December, and then February or something for. Which I feel bad. Europe is Sony's best market. Like they
But they're also like the most forgiving market. So
that's
it's like
true.
We'll relaunch it there eventually, and they're like, okay, we'll buy it. Fuck you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah,
so Yanks,
blokes.
Destiny is coming out on.
Did you just call? Did you just call? I'm sorry.
Blah, blah 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 blah.
Sorry, I was just going to ask Henry if he just had a British person call Japan Yanks.
Yeah. Well, no, they were blaming the American side.
Okay. Sorry, I needed to make sure of that.
Anyways, Destiny is coming out on 360, PS3, and PS4 so far. So that's what they've announced.
And I actually expected them to be like, just kidding, it's not current gen. But they already opened pre-orders, and they can't take the. I mean, they could technically cancel the game, but they're not. That's not their plan. Obviously,
I thought they were doing that with Watch Dogs as well. Like, yeah, we just couldn't say it was next gen at E3 last year. It's next gen, but then the very next day, they're like, yo, you don't think it's for the PS3? Here's the fucking box art right here. PS3, it's even on the Wii U.
Here's my speculation. So I feel like every other generation, it's been like you start making games, you start getting really good at making games, and then you have the rug pulled out from under you because a new generation starts. They had so much time that I have a feeling that like Sony and Microsoft were probably like, yo, guys, in 2 years, we're going to have new consoles. Here's the hardware. Get your shit ready. And they're like, we're not going to make exclusive games right away. Let's start getting our games ready for that now, but still make them current generation games. That's why you have a bunch of new engines that are being like all of the. Like, it seems weird for people to launch their new engines late in the generation,
right?
But those engines are probably super flexible and made for next gen. Like essentially, almost like consider the current games coming out now, like PC games. And the current console ones are the lowest system requirements, and then next gen's going to be, they're just going to fucking raise that up.
I know that's what Kojima said about the Fox engine. Like, it was made to be scalable.
So that's exciting. And Destiny looks cool, and we also have a ton of Destiny cover, including a Radar React about Destiny.
Yeah,
although the more we talked about it during the Radar Reacts, the more we realize we know nothing about it.
But there's a lot of information, so go check it out, gamesradar.com. Go.
Yes. So we'll be right back with some reviews and our community segment. Welcome back to segment 3, which is reviews and community. Henry has stepped out. Joining us instead is Mr. Greg Henniger.
Thank you very
much. I know how to pronounce it, but
Henninger?
Heibenibengeiber.
Whenever I go to pronounce your name, I lose confidence and just try to call you something else. That's why half the time I call you Gregorio, because there's no need to give a last name when you call someone Gregorio.
And it's apt.
It is. It's very. So before we get to the community segment, let's start off with reviews. First up, Crysis 3.
Crysis 3, yeah. Prophet's back.
Prophet is back, and it's a pretty game. Yeah, even on consoles.
I was really astounded by the Xbox 360 version. It looks like... I almost thought I was playing it on PC. The textures are great. The atmosphere, visuals are really good. The game is, you know, pretty much Crysis. The characters aren't really that interesting for the story, and the story is...
Psycho's back, though, right?
Psycho comes back.
I like Psycho.
And if you don't know who that guy is, he's one of your squad mates from the first game.
Is he Psycho?
He is kind of Psycho. He, like, he got his suit ripped off of him, and that's what he's, like, crying about it.
That's
got to
hurt, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, genetically.
So they stripped it off of him, and he talks about screaming about it all the time, so... And then he screams about it.
The horrors.
So this one has, like, this whole You're the Hunter theme, and you get a predator bow, and, you know, it's a pretty cool bow. You could do different things, like you have explosive tips and electric shock tips. Yeah, basically.
You're Hawkeye.
Every time you shoot it, did you scream, just the tip?
Yeah.
When you shot it?
Why would you do that?
I don't know. That sounded funny. And then when I said it, it wasn't. As are most of my jokes.
And you can increase the draw string, draw pull. I can't even talk right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's they made it
all
like
these things.
Yeah, they didn't just give you a bow like most games do, where it's just a bow. They gave you a bunch of different ammo for it, the ability to like you can either shoot faster but weak, but not as accurate. Is it faster but not as accurate?
Yeah, you could shoot faster and it's not as strong. Middle's right in the middle, and then the strong bull up. Draw pull, it will stick people to walls, which you could, you know, pull the arrow out and they'll just ragdoll.
Like a one-shot kill?
Yeah, like the bow is pretty much a one-shot kill, like every time.
I've always said that if any game wants to make themselves go from like mediocre to at least fun, you have to add in one of two things: the ability to stick people to walls with ammunition, or first-person controlling of a projectile.
Yeah.
One of those two things. If you add that, it's always like, fuck, this is the best. Like, yeah. I don't even care about anything else.
Yeah, and everything else is pretty much the same as the rest of the...
Except you can upgrade your abilities, though, right? You couldn't do that before.
Yeah,
You could before, but you can upgrade your specific powers now.
Yeah, a lot of people had a lot of complaints about the suit powers kind of made you feel weaker because you would stealth and then walk a little bit, and then you would all of a sudden run out of energy, and then you're just... it's a chicken shoot.
Yeah, for me, Crysis 2 almost felt like... it felt like this suit, like you were somebody who couldn't, like you were like a dead person walking around in a suit, and the suit was like almost a detriment. I felt weaker than I do in a Call of Duty game, despite the fact that I had superpowers.
After being so powerful in Crysis 1, you were like a human
it almost felt like it was like, you know how in Iron Man, like the first suit he gets?
Yeah.
That's what Crysis 2 felt like, where it was like, I can take 10 steps, stop.
I can only see straight ahead of me, I can't turn my head.
Meanwhile, Crysis 1 felt like full-on Iron Man suit.
Right. Yeah,
so in Crysis 3, there's these little boxes that'll upgrade your armor, and you get to choose the different attributes that you could increase. So you could say, oh, I want longer stealth time, so you could do that. Or I want to be stronger, I want these special abilities. And you could set up... like loadouts basically of four of these skills, so you get cater it to whatever playstyle you want.
How's the multiplayer?
The multiplayer is cool. It has the whole progression system like the standard shooter multiplayer now, and you know, you can use all the powers and stuff, so it feels a little bit different than like a Call of Duty or any of the other ones. So you know, there's cloaked dudes everywhere and people are punching cars at each other, and my favorite thing was to go and grab one of those like a stop sign post, pull it out of the ground, and run around and try to hit people with it. So like there's stuff you can do.
It just feels like chaos.
Yeah, there's stuff you could do like that. That's really fun. There's a new hunter mode where two players are playing basically the prophet type guy, where you're the hunter, and you're invisible for the whole time, and you have a predator bow. And the rest of the other team is the cell guys, and they're just armed with the regular stuff, and they don't have superpowers. So it's kind of like infection mode, where if the hunter kills one of the cell guys, then they become a hunter, and whoever survives longest will get the most points.
Being one of the last guys alive is insanely nerve-wracking.
It feels like an Aliens movie, really, because like you'd be standing in a puddle of water, and all of a sudden there would be an invisible splash right next to you, and then everybody goes...
It's a better Aliens game than Aliens Colonial Marines.
It would make me scream terrified little yelps.
Oh yeah, it's awesome! Like people are screaming, shooting everywhere, and it's a pretty good game. I ended up giving it a 3.5 out of 5.
That's the worst score you can give a game. Thank you.
That's it.
In other words, maximum video game.
Maximum score.
Wow.
Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance is the next review we have. That was all you. I also played through it.
You hated it.
I didn't hate it. I just really didn't like it as much as you.
John was sending me text messages like, this game is at least like a 3.
I stand by that. Listen, I'm not going to say I don't agree with our score, because that's not something professional to say. But if I were to have reviewed it, I would not have given it the same score.
Oh man, I thought that game was super ridiculous fun. Yes, the pairing system is problematic. It doesn't work half the time, which is a bummer when a lot of fights require you to pull it off to beat them.
Yes, also, I actually have the texts I sent you. Let me go through a few of them. Let me see.
Oh, boy, this should be interesting.
Yeah, this
are you still up? What are you wearing?
Dude, fuck this last boss, fuck this game. Actual text message.
No, but I had a lot of fun with it. It's definitely not as tactical or complex as an action game like DMC or Bayonetta, but I think the battles are flashy enough, and blade mode's such a fun mechanic to use that that carries the game.
Yeah, so it's you play as Raiden.
As Raiden.
You're blade in, yeah, the, oh God.
the dialogue is about what you could expect from a Metal Gear game, yeah. So take that as you may.
Yeah, you're I mean, and
cheesy.
Does it have all the lengthy cutscenes?
It does have some.
Not as long. None are as long as, like, the
are they, like, 45 minutes long? Cause
there's only ever one that's, like, reaches, like, the 15-minute mark.
Yeah, and it's like so, the last one too.
Yeah, so they're not terribly bad. I for me, I felt that the basic combos when you're not using blade mode were they get kind of stale because they're the same pretty much the entire game. And one of the biggest issues I had was first the environments that you're running through just all feel like kind of bland generic hallways, and you're never really doing much of it. Like there's never really much going on. But the bigger issue still is when you're fighting bosses, the first time you meet them is usually right before you kill them. Mm-hmm. And it's like it really was missing that Metal Gear buildup that there usually is.
Right, because the bosses are the biggest thing.
Right,
in the
they're all thematic and they're all epic. And yeah, and while these guys are all thematic bosses, they're just not... I mean,
they essentially like it almost feels like a fast forwarded version of Metal Gear because it's like you meet somebody, they give you an abridged version of the they don't make soldiers like us anymore speech, and then you fight.
Right.
Instead of them doing that for like an hour and a half before you even see them.
But are the boss fights themselves actually pretty cool? Or?
So there are like five.
Yeah, and one of them is just downright bad.
No.
And you have to do it twice.
Yeah, but the other ones fun. I had a lot of fun with. And I mean, you kind of get like the secondary weapons of the bosses, and only really one of them is really any useful. The other, one is just not even usable because its attack speed is so slow that I only ever successfully connected a hit one time.
It's literally like, wow. You know how sometimes like in like DMC they're like, oh, now you have Hulk hands and they're slow. This is seriously like one of us trying to swing a gigantic axe, and it's just like, if I hit somebody with this, it's gonna be off. But you can already kill shit in like two hits, so it doesn't matter when you have a big axe.
No, this game is all about it's like it's flash and it's just crazy action. It's not. Like I said, it's not very deep.
I almost feel like one of my issue actually boils down to is that not only is the game's parry system not very good, but I wish that a game where you're playing as a cyber ninja wasn't so reliant on defense. Hmm. You need every boss battle, every battle with an enemy that's slightly bigger than you, is essentially defend, go hit them a bunch, defend. When it's like, I'm a cyber ninja. Fuck that. Well, I mean, I should just be cutting shit apart.
I don't know that that's the case. I think really, with the exception of Monsoon and like the last boss, you don't have to defend.
I mean, either that or you just run away from them a lot.
Or slide around like a baller. Yeah. No, that was really fun though.
But what about the cutting mechanic? That seemed like the biggest selling point.
Oh, it is. It
looks awesome.
Yeah, that is a very crucial part of the game, and I don't think it would have been nearly as enjoyable without it. I mean, you just hold the button and slice away. There's not much else to it than that.
Yeah.
So,
LucasArts needs to immediately buy that technology and add it to any lightsaber game.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was really fun. I just felt like it was, like, when it was at its best, it was amazing. But I feel like that was, like, 20% of the game. And the rest of the game is just, like, you're waiting for it to get that good again.
I had a very different experience.
I also know that I'm probably in the minority on this one.
I think I need
and
that
most people
game.
Most people I talk to are love it, and I'm just like I want to. I love Platinum. I think it may be because it came out too soon after DMC, where it's like so blade mode is fun. The regular combos aren't. What percentage of the time would you say you use regular combos versus blade mode to fight most enemies?
I mean, I didn't have that big of an issue with regular combos.
Saying they're not that interesting. It's just literally go up and hit square or whatever a lot.
I mean, I don't know. I use blade mode about half the time. I almost always killed every enemy with it. So
different opinions are part of what makes the world go round. So they say.
Did I just hear Hollander Cooper say that?
No, I understand. No, I understand when I know that there are plenty of reasons to like it. I like it. I just don't like it that much.
That's fair. You're allowed to.
I know. Agree to disagree is that's my motto.
I gotta play this game now.
I know. I really want to play too.
Yeah. So that's it for reviews. On to the community segment, led by Greg Heindiger.
Gregorio Heimerdinger.
Yes.
All right.
I used to call you Heimerdinger. That's a
League of Legends.
It's a League of Legends character. That kind of name is kind of like yours. What's up with the community this week?
Community, we have a lot of things going up. Live streaming is going up today, but when you hear this, it'll already be over.
Yes.
But we are going to be live streaming Brutal Legends. It's coming out on PC, and so we are going to jump into there on the 25th, doing so that a multiplayer beta, hopefully, before it comes out. Let's see.
Brutal Legend, known for its strong multiplayer.
Did the original have multiplayer?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
What was it like?
Not very good.
What do you do? I mean, I played.
It's a brutal, you know, RTS. You know how Brutal Legends was half fun hack and slash, half
boring
RTS, boring fake RTS. That's what the multiplayer is.
Yeah. The RTS stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're like controlling little armies and sending them around.
You're running around and an army is following you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can watch me do that on the 25th.
Yeah. It'll be fun to watch. It's just not very fun to play.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna have some community play dates. So I am looking for suggestions as to what games people are interested in. And I am also a big PC guy, so if we have any PC community out there, please get in contact with me, and we'll do some more PC stuff, because I'm excited about that.
I know there's a bunch of people that after we started doing the podcast just started adding me on Steam. So we do have we could probably get a Steam group.
Yeah, so find me on Steam. I'm dev_117. Dev is a, not developer, but it's a old Star Wars character in one of the novels that I thought was just super awesome. And, of course.
So your Steam name is the Star Wars version of Goku_420.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty much.
SSJ Dev XX420.
Pretty much. But now, thankfully, I'm a GR. It's if you change your name, people can still look for you, right?
Yeah, like, I think so. Steam.
But it's capital G, capital R, and then that, like, bar, right?
That bar that no one uses, but it looks baller.
And then lowercase EG.
What?
Oh!
Right on.
Damn it, that's good.
I know, right?
That's pretty awesome.
Right when I said that, or I saw it, I was like, that's going to work great. So anyways, yeah.
It's good now until you're playing a game and somebody's like, hey, Egg, can you help me real quick? You'll be like,
Well, I was called Egg a lot as a child. Well,
there
so.
You go. Sorry to bring up those memories.
But yeah, so if you want to send me suggestions about games you guys are excited to play or would like to play, send that to GregHenniger@GamesRadar.com.
You're
going
to want to spell that.
And this is also my Twitter handle, so it's GregHenniger. So go ahead and hit me up with ideas for some games you want to play. And yeah, Twitter is now more than just a, direct line back to the website. It used to be used for pretty much just that.
Yeah.
But now we're going to be, doing a lot of giveaways on there. And so that would be a good thing to follow if you aren't already.
And what is our Twitter handle?
Our Twitter, that's a great question. Tell the people, Coop.
It's Games Radar.
It's just straight up Games Radar. At Games Radar.
At Games Radar. Also, you can also follow at GR Radio Radar.
Yeah, that's one I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just saying the regular Games Radar one. I'm like, this is not a trick question, Greg.
You're fired. You're chopped.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got some responses for the question of the week last week, which was...
Which one of our top 100 games of all time do you not agree with and why?
All right.
We're essentially saying, we got our flame-proof suits on. Bring it.
All right, so Jake P. Peterson said, Battlefield Bad Company 2 needs to be much higher in the 30s at least. The game is a masterpiece of online FPS gameplay with great balance, and he still plays it on a regular basis.
Guess what? Lorenzo and I, not going to fucking disagree with that. That game is awesome!
I'm not disagreeing either.
Let's change it!
I know!
Let's play that with the community.
That's not a bad idea.
Snipe you fools.
He also says Star Wars Battlefront 2 needs to be on there.
It does not. Battlefront. Battlefront is like, you go back and play Battlefront, and you're like, man, is this fun but not good.
You had us at Bad Company, but not at Battlefront.
Yeah, it was awesome when you got to be like the hero units, though.
I didn't even play much of 2, but 1, I remember being like, man, this is great until you see that the AI is so bad that like you walk up and you're like, I'm going to jump on that speeder, and then a stormtrooper's just like, no, I am, and he jumps on it and just smashes into a tree right away. Or when you see like Darth Vader stuck in a corner just swinging his lightsaber, and it's like, oh man, they really need... This is, my suspension of disbelief is shattered.
Yeah. All right, Iron Arm says, don't get me wrong, I love Paper Mario, I just love the Thousand-Year Door much, much more. I had more fun with the combat, pulling off those fancy moves to gain an audience applause. I enjoyed the sidekicks more, the story, and pretty much everything. Going to the moon was amazing. Having the final boss possess Peach for the first time, my jaw dropped. And there were actually a lot of people in the comments that that said Thousand Year Door over Paper Mario.
Well, this is something to pay attention to because we usually trust Henry, but we're learning that we can't. So that's what it comes down to.
All right. Unoriginal says, what the flying feces is a Limbo doing on the top 100 list? It controls like a drunken hippo on rollerblades trying to pole vault in butter. The puzzles, if you can call them that, are trial and error with nearly no intelligence required. I accidentally dropped my controller in a fish tank once, and before I could get it out, my goldfish had beaten Limbo. If Limbo was a human, it would be that pretentious latte-drinking hipster asshole at your local coffee shop.
God dang.
Yeah. Why'd you look at me when you said that?
You weren't. I don't go to coffee shops.
I don't go to coffee shops. I brew my own. So yeah. I press. Yeah.
I have a French press on my desk.
I love him, Limbo, but I do not disagree. Shocker.
Yeah.
It's a fun game, though. I think that the trial and error. I'm not. When I say don't disagree, it should be on the list. I mean, don't disagree about it being trial and error. But I think that's sort of the fun of it. It's almost like it's intentionally unfair, but the checkpoint system is good. You're supposed to be shocked when you die and then try to avoid it. It's part of the thing that makes it so great.
Yeah, and when the little kid's head falls off from that trial and error.
Yeah, just like getting chomped by one of those traps. All right, and so the winner is Cody Stovall, saying, looking at your list, I say I disagree most with Pokemon Black and White. Black and White is new, yes, but it's not that great compared to the other Pokemon games, even Black and White 2. The Pokemon aren't as charming, and neither are the characters nor the locations of the other games. Sure, it brings the cool concept of the ethical use of Mons or whatever, but I think the game is more interesting if you've been playing Pokemon for a while.
Hmm. Interesting. I rallied for... I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise that not everyone in the office agrees with everything on this list. It was sort of just a general consensus thing. Mm-hmm. And there were, I personally probably would have put, Heart Gold and Heart Silver on the list instead.
Yeah, I think he went on to say that those were...
yeah, because I feel like those were... I mean, they were sort of remakes, but they were complete overhaul remakes. And they were... I mean, Pokemon remakes are essentially the same as a new Pokemon game.
Right.
But Black and White being the newest, it's almost like each Pokemon game builds on the other one, so...
All right, cool. So, Cody Stovall, if you want to get a hold of me, you are today's big winner, and we'll send you something fun.
Yeah, we have a bunch of games. And so, do you have a pick for this week's question of the week?
I do. So, I'm sure you guys talked a lot about the PS4 announcement.
We did.
And so, I think it's going to have to be revolved around that.
We did one a few weeks ago that was like, what feature do you want from next gen?
Okay, so this is going to be game related.
Cool.
So, a lot of games were announced. What game do you want to be announced next?
I'll go first. Can I say The Last Guardian? Sure. I want The Last Guardian announced for PS4. I just fucking... Will you stop not making it? Whoever... If you listen, people who are currently not making The Last Guardian, I really want you to quit it. you gotta get back onto making The Last Guardian. It's really important to me.
I'll go next. Henry and I were both squealing with joy when the brand manager for Final Fantasy got on the stage and was like, we have an announcement to make. And we're like, oh, what could it be? I mean, of course we expect it, but what is it going to be? And he's like...
It's like somebody who expects somebody to propose to them, and the person gets down on one knee. It's like, ooh, I wasn't ready, but I was totally ready.
And then he says, I'm going to maybe propose to you one day.
Yes!
And then ties his shoes.
I want to know what the next Final Fantasy is. I'm after Lightning Returns, I'm pretty ready to be done with the 13 universe.
Right.
14's an MMO. What is it going to be? Is it going to be versus 13, or are we going to see 15 next?
Who's to
show
say?
It up. I want to see it.
Lorenzo?
For me, I'm not really rooting for any kind of special franchise. I kind of want something new.
A new IP?
Something... Maybe what Respawn might be working on.
Aren't they making a game?
Yeah.
Where the hell is that? That's been in development for 5 years.
Yeah, they're making something. It'll probably be a shooter, which is my jam. So, I don't want to see another Modern Warfare. I don't want to see...
Well, I mean, you do. Not from them, though.
Not from them.
I mean, you know you're getting another Modern Warfare.
Oh, yeah. I don't want modern combat. Something different. Something cool, you know?
How funny would it be if they literally just did, Modern Combat... Shooter Extreme, and it's literally just them making a new Call of Duty.
It's just Call of Duty.
Isn't it for EA?
I think
so.
I have a theory, real quick. So you know how EA is like, we're gonna just fucking take a little break on Medal of Honor because it's not doing what we want. The reason they're saying that is because this year is Battlefield, next year is Respawn's game.
That makes sense.
They're saying it now so people don't expect it, but strategically, that's because next year they're gonna have their shooter.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
We'll see.
I am excited if they would please announce 1313 next. That's the Star Wars universe that I...
For next gen?
Yeah, for next gen. Mm-hmm. As the next... You know, it's going to be... like, obviously, the LucasArts is working with the PlayStation, because on that third-party developer screen, LucasArts was predominantly on there. Mm-hmm. So I'd be stoked for 1313 coming out.
Yeah, I'm excited for another Star Wars game.
Yeah, and I want it set in the original Star Wars universe. Like, I want to see Stormtroopers. I want to see, like, you know, spaceships I know, like X-Wings and TIE Fighters.
Between,
and
like, 4 and 5 or
around.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, so did they announce when I know it's set in that time, but is it, like, post-Jedi, or...
I don't think it is. I think it's during.
During?
I think they're afraid to go post, because if they go post, they get into territory that they're really not supposed to really be getting
into.
Yeah,
that's the new movie territory, so...
Okay. Nowadays.
Well, yeah. I'm still fine with that. I think I read that it was between Empire and Jedi.
That something. Makes sense. That's a good time.
Yeah. So, like, the Empire's still there, the Rebels, you know...
Any time in the original trilogy is good. It's kind of limiting. That's why it was a shitty idea for the MMO to do that, for Galaxies, because it was like... This game takes place during the 2 years between movies.
No,
and it's
screw
like,
that. Well, I would have loved that.
Well, in
like,
the
with Star Wars Galaxies, like seeing, you know, AT-ATs walking around.
It was cool,
like
but
that.
At the same time, it was super limiting because you couldn't progress the plot.
Couldn't progress the plot. Okay.
That's what I mean.
Well, you could also...
I like how they set it on Coruscant because they haven't really explored Coruscant that much in the Galactic Empire.
I'm both excited and a little sad. I hope it doesn't... because. It's on the level 1313, right?
Yeah, like, right.
But is it all going to be dark,
dingy?
No, it's
not. They'll bring it up. You'll be around.
Yeah, you'll go into space. Come on, it's Star Wars.
It has to start in space. That's part of, like, every Star Wars thing starts in space.
It was like that movie Dread. Did you ever see Dread?
No. I heard it was awesome.
Dread.
I heard it was really good.
Judge Dread remake. It was awesome. No, it was really good. But it all takes place in,
like a
rundown tower.
You should watch The Raid Redemption. It's much better.
The Raid Redemption?
Movie,
but it was so draining by the end. You just see the same thing over and over again. So when I see 1313, it's just like the tower, but they flipped it upside down, and now it's a hole.
I want
them to get out of there.
I'm not skeptical. I'm excited. I just hope it's still being worked on.
Oh, I'm crazy excited.
Yeah, so
I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah. So you can email us our answer at radioradar@gamesradar.com. And
send me your ideas for community stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Games Radar or GR Radio Radar, on Facebook at just search Games Radar.
Mm-hmm.
Rate us on iTunes, do all that fun stuff, and comment on the article for your chance to win some prizes. What kind of games do we have to give away?
I know right now we got like stacky. We got both PS3 and 360, like Devil May Cry, Walking Dead. We got some good stuff in there.
A bunch of Origin and Steam codes too. Just hit us up and just send us any nice words. And we'll make Greg respond.
PC people, let me know you're out there.
Yeah, because we believe you are.
Holler if you hear me.
Yes, holler if you hear him. That's it for the episode. Be sure to check back next week, and we will see you later. Get to love your cards. I am in the process of ruining Tom's shuffling by grabbing a card from the middle. It is the rules. That is not the right card. Another card from the middle. Which is more meditative to play?
Wow. All right.
I got mine. All right. Flip them. Boom. I went with Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP. If you haven't played it, you should. It's really good. But it's almost like a really, really light, very, like, light interaction point-and-click adventure. You kind of just walk around, hipster music plays, everything's pixelated, it's all nice and basic, and you just kind of sit there and smile. Mm-hmm. And it's very meditative.
I chose to play 1962's Space War because this was pretty much, like, the first video game. And at the time, like, the developers didn't even know that they had made a video game so much as it was, look at what we can do with computers. This is kind of cool. And so this was really the genesis of gaming. And it's very meditative in the sense that when you're playing it, you really have no idea what the hell's going on because you're just pushing a series of buttons and watching like series of two pixels.
You meditate
moving.
Weird.
Yeah, I thought it was the Mega Drive of gaming, not the Genesis.
Yeah. That was... I.
Anyway.
So many ways to go with that.
Mine is Parappa the Rappa. So I'll admit it can get stressful on some of the songs when you're like the Cheap Cheap song is not very fun to play sometimes. But when you are rapping cool and get up to that extra level of rapping, like say in the dojo, the walls just fly off and you can just even rap whatever you want to say. You don't have to follow the beat, and that's very freeing. I love it.
I chose Super Smash Brothers Melee because I love that game. But, you know, you could enter a meditative state and just, you know, turn into, like, Bruce Lee and kick everyone's ass and, you know, be awesome. So,
You mainly just chose it because you like the game.
Yeah, pretty much.